Let's turn in our Bibles this morning, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7 with me. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7, we'll begin reading in verse 36. Gospel of Luke, chapter 36, with me, please. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he had forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this account in the Gospel of Luke. We have three participants this morning. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have this Pharisee, and we have this woman. Father, we know there's a lesson, an application for our lives this morning. Please open our hearts and minds so we can see what it is that you would have us to learn from thy holy word this morning. Father, I just pray that you'd bless us, encourage us if we need to be encouraged, comfort us if we need to be comforted. Father, yes, if there's an admonition or a rebuke, admonish us and rebuke us according to thy will and according to thy word. We ask it now in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I want to look at verse 44 of our text. Jesus turned to Simon and he said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Seeing as Jesus Sees. Seeing as Jesus Sees. Simon the Pharisee had seen the sinful woman wash Jesus' feet with her tears. Yes, he had seen her weeping, anointing, wiping, and kissing in verse 39. We saw that she did all of these things. But he had not really seen her at all. All he could see was uncleanness, sin, a wasted life, a person unworthy of decent folks' company. Jesus, on the other hand, saw her differently. And we must remember, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, although man looketh at the outward appearance, God looketh upon the heart. And that's what Jesus saw, was her heart. And Simon the Pharisee, all he saw was her outward appearance. He wanted Simon to see her differently. That's why he turned to Simon and he said, Simon, seest thou this woman? Of course he knew that Simon saw her physically. She was right there, but he wanted him to go below the surface, below her outward appearance. He wanted him to see her heart, and her heart was expressed by her actions. Again, her weeping, her anointing, her wiping, her kissing. He said to Simon, in other words, Simon, do you really see her? Do you see what's going on here? You know what Simon's problem was? Which is a problem of a lot of us. Simon's problem was blindness. He could not see who Jesus was. Jesus proved to be a prophet by reading Simon's thoughts and revealing his needs. He could not see who he was. Simon himself, the Pharisee, he was a sinner too, just like that woman. And he could not see what Jesus saw in this woman. You know, Simon, like a lot of us, are guilty of being a respecter of persons. Look at with me in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. James chapter 1. Excuse me, James chapter 2, verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. That's exactly what this man was doing today. He was a respecter of persons. He had Jesus come into his house because he knew Jesus was a famous person. Amen. He had probably seen some of the miracles that Jesus had done. He wanted this celebrity to come into his home. But he didn't want this woman there. He was guilty of being a respecter of persons. But this morning, what we want to focus in on is, what did Jesus see in her? What did Jesus see in that woman? First of all, he saw the worth of her soul. He saw the worth of her soul. A precious soul worth saving. That's what Jesus saw. Simon saw no worth in her. Because we're told in verse 39 of Luke chapter 7, Simon said to himself, "She is a sinner." That's all he saw. This woman probably had a reputation. Because we're told as we begin that in verse 37 about the woman which was a sinner. She was a sinner. That's all that Simon saw, that she was a sinner. Again, he failed to see his own condition. He was as much a sinner as she was. To Jesus, though, she was worth the whole world. Over in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 8, the Bible tells us in verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul?" What Jesus saw was a precious soul without Christ on its way to hell for eternity. He knew that she had an eternal soul, that eternal soul would either spend eternity in one of two places, either in heaven, but where she was without Christ, she was unsaved, he knew that she would spend eternity in a lake of fire. She had not only an eternal soul, but she had a broken spirit. A broken spirit. We saw that because she was weeping. She was weeping, the scriptures tell us. In Luke chapter 7, in verse 38, "And stood at his feet, and behind him weeping." She had a broken spirit. She knew who she was. She knew that she was a sinner. She knew who Jesus was. That he was the Messiah that was spoken of. You know, God values broken things. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Let's look at some references. Psalm chapter 34, first of all, with me. Psalm chapter 34. In Psalm chapter 34, looking in verse 18. Psalm 34, 18. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." My dear friend, this woman couldn't have got any closer than the Lord Jesus Christ if she tried. Scripture says the Lord is nigh unto them of a broken heart. The promise right here in the Bible, that woman had a broken heart over her sin. As a result of that, the Lord was nigh unto her. And it says here in that verse, "and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Jesus saw her eternal soul. He saw that her spirit was broken. It was contrite. She was ready to be saved. She recognized who she was, a sinner. She recognized who Jesus Christ was, the Messiah. Look at in Psalm verse 51. Psalm 51 with me, verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. That's what God is interested in, my dear friend. Not so much the outward appearance, but the condition of your heart. We had two individuals here besides the Lord Jesus Christ. We had the Pharisee, but he was blind. He couldn't see himself, and he couldn't see the woman for what she really was. Oh, the Pharisee had all the outward appearance, all the trappings of someone religious. And of course, the woman had the complete opposite outward appearance. There was no hiding it. There was no fluff. She was a sinner. Her sins were open. What Jesus had more respect unto, as we're told, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Here this woman was continually at the feet of Jesus, behind him, weeping, washing his feet with her tears, and drying his feet with her hair. Amen. Pharisee would do nothing of the such. Amen. He was above that. After all, he was a Pharisee. Looking in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The Bible is telling this is who gets God's attention. Even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This is why that woman got Jesus' attention. First of all, because she was of a poor and contrite spirit. Her heart was broken. She was weeping over her sin. Amen. And she trembleth at the word of God. She was weeping and crying because she knew that she was a sinner according to the word of God. So we see point number one. What did Jesus see in her? The worth of her soul. Number two, what did Jesus see in her? The warmth of her sacrifice. She was abounding in love for the Lord. Looking in verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. She loved much. How did she love much? Well, first of all, through the love of giving. The ointment, verse 37. She came into the Pharisee's house and brought an alabaster box of ointment. Something very expensive that she could have sold and kept the money for herself. But no, she loved the Lord. She gave of herself. Real charity in action. Oh, she didn't, like so many, talk about how great Jesus was and how wonderful he was. She transformed her love from words into action. She showed her charity by her giving to the Lord. The warmth of her sacrifice, the love of her giving, the ointment. Number two, the love. The love of her affection. And we see that expressed in verse 38. What did she do? She kissed his feet. She kissed his feet. How many of us would do that today? Here is God manifest in the flesh. Probably one of the most humble acts of humility. She kissed her feet. She showed her affection and love for him by kissing his feet. Not kissing his lips or his cheek like Hollywood would teach us. No, she kissed his feet. She not only showed him that she loved him dearly. Not with romantic love, but again with charity in the heart. But she took, by kissing his feet, she's saying, I'm at your feet. I'm in submission to you, Jesus. I humbly submit to you. I'm a sinner. And then we see the love of being forgiven. Jesus says to Simon, I have something to tell you. Of course, Simon says, say on, master. And Jesus tells him about a creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence and another 50. And he forgave them both. He forgave them both. And what Jesus was doing here was trying to make a comparison between the woman and the Pharisee to him. They were two debtors. The Pharisee and the woman. Jesus was the creditor. The woman took the position, was the one of the position who owed the 500. The Pharisee, the 50. But she loved him more because she was forgiven more. Because see, the Pharisee's looking at himself and saying, there's nothing wrong with me. Look at me. I do this and I do that and I keep the Mosaic law and I do what I'm told and blah, 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 blah. But none of those things, amen, are important to God, the outward appearance things. He's looking at the heart today. You know, Christian, we're told when we hit the judgment seat of Christ, and we get up there and he goes over our things that we've done for him, he's going to look at what sort it was. In other words, what was our motivation in doing it? Was our heart right? What was our motive? What sort was it of? Amen. And we're going to be really surprised because a lot of our works after we got saved for the name of Christ were done in the flesh and not in the spirit. Amen. The love of being forgiven. Look at what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You want to know what true love is, my friend? Here it is. The greatest love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look at in verse 19 of 1 John 4. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He sought you and I. We didn't go after him, amen. He sought you and I. What did Jesus see in her? He saw the worth of her soul. He saw the warmth of her sacrifice. Number three, he saw the willingness of her service. You know, true love is manifested or revealed in service. If you really love someone, you want to do things for them. You want to do things that's going to please them, amen? Look at this woman. Look at this woman. Look at the service. Again, her love was manifested in her service. She loved Christ. How do we know? How do we know in her heart that she really loved him? Because outwardly, look at her service. She cleaned his feet with her tears. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And then anointed his feet with the precious ointment. The love is manifested in service. Look at the difference with Simon. He didn't really love Christ. Christ told him. Verse 44. I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet, for she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Again, Simon didn't really love Jesus. Again, he wanted probably Jesus in his home because he knew of Jesus' fame and all these miracles and things that he had done. Maybe he was just curious. He wanted to get a closer look at this man, Jesus. But he didn't love him. There was no service there. He didn't even give him the basic hospitality of that day, giving him water for his feet because they wore sandals back then and their feet would get dirty. And they needed to be cleansed. He didn't greet, which was the greeting of the day from man to man, was to maybe kiss each other on the cheek or hug each other, amen. This woman not only cleaned his feet, wiped it with her hair, kissed his feet, but she anointed his feet with oil. Love, my friend, will not be denied. Love, true love, charity in action will not be denied. It endures abuse to serve Christ. This woman, if you think about it, was looked down upon by the religious crowd. Well, who does she think she is? This, as Simon said, she's a sinner. Can you imagine a sinner? And what's he doing? What's Jesus doing? If he was a prophet, he'd know the condition of this woman, that she was a sinner, and he would not let her touch his feet. She endured abuse to serve him. You know, the Bible reminds you and I, if we're going to truly serve the Lord and live for him. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, Chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What did Jesus see in her? He saw the worth of her soul. He saw the warmth of her sacrifice. He saw the willingness of her service. And finally, he saw the withdrawal from sin. Her desire, in other words, to be done with sin. verse 36. Verse, 38. We're told again, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. Weeping. When she came into the presence of Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. And we know that Jesus is the light of the world, is he not? That the light from Jesus revealed her sinful condition. Yes, this woman had failed in life, but who hasn't, if you think about it? But the point was, what she was doing showed a break with all of that. Couldn't Simon see that? No. Simon could not see that because the only thing he could see was what his self-righteous, smug heart wanted to see. He didn't want to see the changed condition in this woman. Again, he wanted to look at only the outward appearance. What's the lesson for us to learn this morning? Are we like Simon? Are we like Simon? Do we really see the people around us at work, or when we go shopping at the stores, or even at home? Have we looked beneath the obvious to see precious souls in need of God's saving grace? Or do we have an attitude, well, that person is a sinner. God can't save them. I'm not gonna try. I'm not gonna go and give them the gospel. Or that person's a wicked person. I don't want anything to do with them, amen. Many of us, as Christians, unfortunately have the same smug, hot attitude as Simon did. We should ask ourselves about everyone that we meet. What's going on in that person? After all, they're flesh just like you and I. What's happening in their lives at the time? Or what have they been through? Or does that person, does he or she know the Lord? How can I serve him or her? What can I do so that person can draw closer to Christ? Or that soul can come to know that it realizes that it needs Jesus Christ to be saved. If you think about it, think how differently you and I would treat people if we saw them all this way. If we saw them as Jesus sees them. What we need are eyes that really see. We, you and I need, and all Christians need, are the eyes of Jesus. Unfortunately, most of us have the eyes of Simon, that only look at the outward appearance, or the reputation. We have to be very careful of what we listen to about a person, amen. I've been guilty of that in my life. You've never met a person before, and you listen to what somebody else has to say about them. So you've already got a preconceived notion of what that person's all about. And what happens is your attitude. You won't even give them a chance. You won't even listen to them. But I've also had the opportunity of times where I haven't listened to the crowd or what someone else has to say, and that person's been all right. We've got along fine and maybe became very close friends. We're told over and over and over again in the scriptures, in the gospel accounts, whenever Jesus saw the multitude, he didn't say, "Get these filthy, dirty people away from me. I'm too busy. Amen. I want nothing to do with them. I've got more important things to do. I have to meet with the muckety-mucks or the religious leaders." No. What does it say? When he saw the multitude, over and over and over again, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion. He saw their condition, whatever it may be. He saw their sin condition. He saw them hungry. He saw them ill. He saw them sick. Whatever it may be, he was moved with compassion. And when someone is moved with compassion, you know what it does? Because when you're moved with compassion, that affects the heart. In other words, your heart is broken over someone else's condition. And what does compassion from the heart do? It says Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion made him do something for those people. That's what you and I need, is to be moved. When we look at people, be it the multitudes or individuals, you and I need to be moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Making a difference in their lives, amen. That's the problem today. We need more compassionate Christians, amen. I'm not saying that it's not right to know how to rightly divide the word of truth and have doctrine. That's important too. But we have to remember the scripture says, charity never faileth, knowledge puffeth up. We need compassion. Compassion is what gets people saved. Is to look out at the multitude, amen. Someday you're on the highway and you're stuck in traffic and you see bumper to bumper to bumper cars. Does it ever come to your mind that look at these people? They're literally, most of them, on their way to hell. Bumper to bumper to bumper. Amen. But the sad part, like on a highway where there's a road sign, it says 5 or 10 miles to wherever you're going. As you come upon, there's no road, there's no signposts that say 10 miles to hell, 5 miles to hell, amen. Seeing as Jesus sees. What did Jesus see in this woman? He saw the worth of her soul. He saw the warmth of her sacrifice. He saw the willingness of her service. He saw the withdrawal from her sin. What did Simon see? All he could see was a sinner. Someone that wasn't fit to be in his company. What's it going to be? How are you going to see? Are you going to see others as Jesus sees them? As a precious soul worth saving? Taking the time to talk to them, to find out about what's going on in their lives. Trying to help them. Having compassion, making a difference, giving them the good news, probably for the first time in their entire life. Or are you going to be like Simon, blinded, looking out only at the outward appearance of people, a cold heart? The choice, my friend, is up to you. Is it your prayer today? It should be. To ask God to help you to see as Jesus sees. Ask God to let me see the world as though I were looking through the eyes of Jesus. Because that's the only way that you and I will be moved to go and tell others the good news that Christ died. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day to save each and every one of us. Seeing as Jesus sees, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this account in the Gospel of Luke. And I pray, it's my prayer as a Christian and for all Christians here today, Lord, and those that may be listening. Father, help us to see the world through the eyes of your Son, as only Jesus can see. As we look upon the multitudes, as we look upon individuals, help us to be moved with compassion, making a difference. Because the only one that can change your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one that can cleanse a sinful, wicked heart is Jesus Christ through his precious blood. Father, now we pray as we come to our closing song of invitation, help us today and every day to see as Jesus sees. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.